Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Rosh Hashanah's daf Yud Ches. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zechanish Matzlos Lupin Zoltzman. We are in Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Our topic of discussion has been and will continue to be for half of this morning. Din. We're talking about the judgment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and specifically on Rosh Hashanah. This comes up as a part of our discussion because, as we know it already back in the Mishnah takes us back a little bit. So the Mishnah says that on Rosh Hashanah, that's the Din of Adam. Humanity is judged on Rosh Hashanah. It is somewhat of a discussion in terms of when exactly the other things are judged, meaning our Mishnah says that the crop, the wheat, is judged on Pesach, and the fruit are judged on Shavuos, and water is judged on Chag, on Sukkos. And we noted that they're not all Tanaim agree to that basic timeline, but Kulei Alma, according to everybody, Rosh Hashanah is a time of din, it's a time of judgment where all humanity gets judged. The Mishnah's language was Kivnei Maron. That's a language which we're going to discuss a little bit later this morning in terms of what exactly that means. The Mishnah was back on Tzayin Amud Aleph. So since then, Tzayin Yud Zayin, and today's Daf Yud Ches, is a discussion of din. Yesterday, some very serious gemaras in terms of the din of a person after he dies, after 120 years on this earth. So what exactly happens afterwards, and the din and the judgment that a person experiences afterwards. So we discussed a little bit of that yesterday. Can you change din? So that's been our discussion, and that will be our discussion for a good part of today. After Kadosh Baruch Hu lays down that this is a judgment, and now I ruled, and the court, and the case is closed, and this is your ruling, so can you change that? So Rav Yochanan, in response to that, said, sure you can. If you look back in the Gemara, in the first wide line on Yezayin Amud Beis, so I'm Rav Yochanan, just reviewing, Gedol Tshuva Shemakras Gezar Din Shel Adam. Tshuva is unbelievable. Tshuva could take a Gezar Din and just break it and tear it up. Shenemar Hashmein Lev Hashman Lav Ha'am Azev Aznoach Ben Beinav Hashab Pen Yireh Beinav Aznav Yishma Ulevavo Yavin. So after basically the Navi Yishayahu tells the people, listen carefully. So Vishav V'Rafalo, you do tshuva and you'll have a refuah. So once you do tshuva, so even if you're sick and even if you are deathly sick, but tshuva meaning sincere desire to change, so that can influence and that can affect the Gzar Din, could abrogate Gzar Din. Good. That's what we've been saying up until now. Now, to which the Gemara says, a number of sources seem to indicate that you can't change the Gzar Din. So right now, the Gemara is... Let's start from that point in time. Meisvei. I know we did this yesterday, but we'll do it quickly today. Meisvei. So it's about 6-7 lines from where the lines get wide. And the Gemara is going to challenge this. Meaning, after Gzar Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you change the Gzar Din? So Meisvei, the Gemara says, let's see. Hashav Mein Tayin Mochin Lo. So during the Bein Tayim, during this in-between period, obviously, Rashi brings it down, we're talking about between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, during the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So if you do Tshuva, that's great, you'll have a Mechila. But if you don't do Tshuva, so you could bring all Eilei Nevayos, you could bring Ayol, Ram after Ram, and it's not going to help you. So the Gemara says, and now what does it sound like? That after Yom Kippur, there's a Gzar Din, and there's nothing you can do that would help. So the Gemara's response is, Lokasha Habiyachar Habitzibor. So the Gemara says, not a problem. An individual can change a Gzar Din, but a Tzibor can change a Gzar Din. So right now, at this juncture, at this point in time, the Gemara is working with the assumption that Enachinami. Rav Yochanan, although he said that tshuva will help, but now the Gemara is limiting, and the Gemara is saying, no, tshuva is going to help by a tzibur, but not by a yachid. The Gemara continues. V'meitzvei, the Gemara challenges once again. Eine Hashem lokecha ba, Kadosh Baruch Hu, eyes are towards it. It here, reference to Eretz Yisrael. Right, we quoted this pasuk already a number of times throughout our Masechta. Right, Mereshis Hashanah v'Achris Hashanah, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. And we've said time and again, that's talking about the year starting with Tishrei. Now, itim latova, itim lara. Now, sometimes good, sometimes bad. What does that mean? Itim latova keitzad harei shayisro vishayim gemurim b'Rosh Hashanah. U'paskal m'gishamim u'atim. So let's say from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, so we weren't that inspired as a community, as a people. And, okay, I'm saying it nicely. The language of the Braisa is Rishayim Gemurim. Okay, so no good. We didn't behave. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore issued a din. And the din is what? A little bit of rain this year, not a lot of rain. And then Lasov Chazur Bahem. And afterwards, as a community, we do tshuva. So what happens? So Lahosef Aleim Yevsher Shekvar Nigzer Gzera. Kadosh Baruch Hu can't give more rain, meaning it's a decree. The yearly supply of rain has been decreed on Rosh Hashanah. That's it. There's nothing can change that. Elakash Baruch Murdim is manam. So what Kadosh Baruch Hu does is strategically implement the rain at specific times. There's going to be only the amount of rain that's locked. But in terms of the implementation of the rain, so Kadosh Baruch Hu will do that with strategy. So Allah Arutz Tzrich Lahen. So and only on lands that are necessary. Okay. Hakol Lefi Aretz. Itim L'Ra'am. And it can go the other direction. How so? Kate said, Harisha Yisrael Tzadikim Gemur in Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah, we were all inspired. The davening was beautiful. People were moved. Okay, we were good. And then Paskalayim Geshama Merubim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zegzar Din says, okay, a lot of rain for this year. And then Lesov Chazur Bahem. And then after Rosh Hashanah, after Yom Kippur, so that's it. Inspiration's now over. And we all went back to our usual ways. Let's not say it that way. That's not nice. But in other words, we weren't good after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So now, Lafacha Mehem Yavshah Shekvar Nigzer Gzera. So then, Kadosh Baruch Hu can't diminish the amount of rain. That's not going to work. Because, again, there's a Gzar Din. And here the Gzar Din was Latova. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to change that. So Ela, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Maridim, Shalab Izmanam, Ala Arche Netzrich Alehem. So Kadosh Baruch Hu also can, again, here the strategy is there's going to be a lot of rain, but I'll just simply issue the rain to those places that don't need the rain, and the places that do need it are not going to get it. Okay, but anyway, what did we get from this entire brisa? We got from this entire brisa that once there's a Gzar Din, that's it. Even in a scenario where we were bad during Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Gzar Din issued is that we're only going to have a scarce amount of rain, and meanwhile, even with tshuva afterwards, that's not going to change. And again, Rav Yochanan said, tshuva will change the Gzar Din. And the Gemara also just said that when it comes to a tzibur, we could change it. So the Gemara says, Latova mi alikar l'gzar dinayhu, velosif lehu, let's have more rain. The Gemara's response is, shani hasan def shabahachi. So the Gemara says, look, the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that ef shabahachi, meaning if HaKadosh Baruch Hu can maneuver and manipulate so that he doesn't have to change the Gzar Din, he will do so. But if necessary, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to change the Gzar Din, because we do tshuva as a community, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do so. Tashma, the Gemara quotes another Braisa. The Braisa over here is based on the 107th Perek of Tehillim. Open up Tehillim, I mean not now obviously, but open up Tehillim Perek of Zion, 107. So you're going to say that's the Hodul Hashem Perek. What do I mean by that? So you'll see that with the upside down nuns, right? You're familiar with the Perek and Tehillim? Basically, we go through different travails, different catastrophes, different calamities, and we cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves us. And you look in that Perek, and you'll see four different types of calamities. Going through a desert, going over an ocean, being sick, everyone getting the basic idea, being imprisoned. So this is the Perek of Birchas HaGomel, meaning the four different tragedies, calamities that befall an individual, and if he's saved, so he says, thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov Ki Olam Chasdo. I'm not sure if that's the exact language of the Perek, but and obviously, and what comes with that when there's a Beis HaMikdash? Karban Toda. You're right, that's the Hodu L'Hashem, you bring a Karban Toda. In the meantime, however, we're quoting just a small amount of this Braisa. Yardei Hayam Ba'aniyoso Se Melacha B'yamim Rabim Hema Ra'u Maseh Hashem Vayomer V'yamod Ruach Sara Usir Omeim Galav Yachogu V'yanu Kishikor. Okay, hopefully I did a good job reading the Pesukim. I get the basic idea. You're in the ocean. It's tumultuous. The seas are rising and going down. You're like a drunk on the ocean. V'yatzakul Hashem b'tzar lahem. And so, what do the seafarers do? They cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help us, save us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu does so. So yodu l'Hashem chazdel. Okay, so this is one of the four different circumstances where you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for saving you. Asalem simanios ke'achin v'rakim shebetorah. And makes simanios, meaning, again, you open up a parak in Tehillim and you look inside and you'll see they're upside down nuns, right? Just like in Chumash, we have upside down nuns, right? Parshas Baloscha coming up in one parsha from now. So you're going to have the upside down nuns, right? Simanios, they're signs. The Gemara actually never mentions the upside down nun. The upside down nun, that's, I don't know where that comes from. It's could be just part of the Masorah. I don't know. But anyway, but okay, whichever the case is. What? Yeah, correct. So why make simanios? So why make the signs? So the Gemara says, because all this will help. Your tefillah will help only before the Gzar Din. After the Gzar Din, your tefillah is not going to help. So if you are, if the Gzar Din is that you're gonna go down the ship, so that's it, and you could do all the tshuva you want, and it's not gonna help. So again, what do you see over here? You see that after the Gzar Din, it's not gonna help you. So the Gemara's response is Haninami ki yechidim damu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but they're yechidim, they're individuals. Meaning, as we pointed out, by an individual cannot change the Gzar Din, but a tzibur can change the Gzar Din. The sailors, the people on the ship, yechidim, they're like individuals, and that's why. After the Gzar Din, it's nothing's going to help. Tashma. The Gemara cites another Braisa. We are in Yerzayin Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud, about seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. Sha'ala Bluria Hagiyara, says Rami Gamliel. So Bluria the convert asks Rami Gamliel, Kasuv b'Torah Chem, it says in your Torah. Now, the language of your Torah, so we could suggest the following. First of all, we could suggest that this was before her conversion, so that means then okay, then the language of Taraskam is a little bit better. And the gears on the side of the Gemara, it says that some people don't have the gears of the word B'Taraschem, which kind of makes everything better, because then she's a convert, and as a convert you accept the Torah. It shouldn't be Taraschem, it should be Tarasenu. Okay, so either way, Kasa B'Taraschem Ashalo Yisa Panim, Kadosh Baruch Hu accepts no bribes, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu operates on din. There's judgment, there's justice, and that's it. Ukasiv Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. And then on the other hand, the Torah also says, Kadosh Baruch Hu will show you favor. Meaning you're gonna receive a little favoritism. Okay, so obviously it's a blatant stira between Psukim. One Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does no bribery, no favoritism, justice, strict justice, that's it. And the other pasuk says, and that other pasuk, this week's parsha, right, we'll hear the Shabbos, Birchas Kohanim, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will show us favoritism. This is not the first place, to my memory, that the Gemara asks this question. The Gemara asks this very same question in the Gemara in Brachos. Do we remember? In this case, I happen to. You remember the Gemara's answer in Brachos to this question around the Daf Chaf area, right? So the Gemara asks this very question, and the Gemara's response is that in Achinami, that really Kadosh Baruch Hu should be showing only strict justice, meaning that's how the world operates. But to us, the Jewish people, Kadosh Baruch Hu will show favoritism. Why? Because we go and above and beyond the letter of the law. The Gemara gives one example. I know it's in the context of benching, but the Gemara over there gives an example by benching. So when is there an obligation to benchment of Torah? So that's when we're full. The Torah says, V'achalta v'savata uverachta. Once you're full, so you have to bench. So that means that if you have a little piece of bread and it really didn't do anything for you, so you don't have to bench. What do we do as the Jewish people? We eat a kezayis of bread, right? Just a small volume of an olive, whatever, 40 grams. We eat a little bit of bread. And what's the obligation? We obligate ourselves to bench. We bench even after kezayis. So we go above the letter of the law. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu does in kind to us. He goes above the letter of the law. That's the Gemara in Brachos asking the very same question and offering that as an answer. What about our Gemara over here? Our Gemara gives a different answer. So Nitapela Rav Yossi HaKohen. So now we're back in our Gemara. So now remember, Blurius HaGioris was asking Rabban Gamliel. And Rabban Gamliel, so presumably he should answer. Rav Yossi HaKohen answers. Okay, right, he's butting in. But at the same time, he's a Kohen. And the truth of the matter is that this is Birchas Kohanim. So I guess it's like this is his department. Okay. He specializes in this psukim. So anyway, so Amalei Emshal Chamash Lamad Avadam. He says, so I'll give you an answer via a mashal. And La Adam Shenosh Bechaver Manem. So a person, let's say, is demanding from his friend $100. Okay, I'm speaking today's currency. Right, so you owe me $100. Okay, Anu, let's go. You owe me. So, Kavalem is man b'fnei ha-melech. And they go in front of the king, and they, in other words, and the man says to his friend, look, he, right to the king, he says, look, this guy owes me $100. Okay, Anu? So, v'nishba lo b'chaya ha-melech. And the borrower says, you know what, he's right, I do owe him the money, and I swear that I'm going to pay back. So, he gives man v'lo paro. And here comes the time, right, they decided the time that the loan is going to get paid, and it's not paid by that point in time, even though he made a shvua right in front of the king in the name of the king, that he was going to pay back, and he doesn't. Balafayis is a melech. So now, number one, he didn't pay back his loan. Number two, it's a direct offense to the king. He promised in the name of the king that he was going to pay back, and he didn't. So he goes to the king, and he says to the king, look, I'm really sorry. Right? I embarrassed you. I apologize. So the king says to the guy, me? You want my forgiveness? No problem. I'll give you my forgiveness. But upai says chavercha. But there's a friend of yours who didn't get paid back. So yeah, my honor I can handle. But I can't deal with the other person's honor. So hachanami kam ba'aver shebin al makam kam ba'aver shebin al machavero. So when the Kadosh Baruch Hu can show favoritism, that's bein adol amakam, meaning between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to forgive for sure. That's within his prerogative. But if we offend somebody else, and then we go to Hashem and said, please forgive us, Hashem. Hashem says to us, well, look, what do you want from me? I'll give you all the forgiveness in the world, but there's the other person over there that you offended, that you hurt, and I can't speak on his behalf. So that's the answer given by Rav Yossi Cohen. So the Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, when is Hashem showing us favoritism? Bein Adam L'Makom. But with the pasuk of Asher Lo Yisa Panim, Akash Baruch Hu can't show favoritism. Bein Adam L'Chaveru. Good answer number one. Beautiful. Ashba Rabbi Kiva Valimi. The Gemara gives another answer, top of Yudches Amaral. Kan Kodim Gzardin Kam Lacha Gzardin. Before the Gzardin, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha. After the Gzardin, Lo Yisa Panim. Kadosh Baruch Hu will not show favoritism. Once again, Rabbi Akiva, who seems to be giving the authoritative answer, is telling us that after the Gzardin, there is nothing you can do. Hachaname Biachid. The Gemara gives a three-word answer. And that is, again, an individual. You're right. An individual cannot change the Gzar Din. A Tzibur can change the Gzar Din. Okay, so the Gemara has been consistently hitting this point again and again. Third time now the Gemara is making this point, which is that an individual cannot change the Gzar Din. So once you have a Gzar Din, that's it. You're done. You're locked in for the rest of that year. Acher Gzar Din, after the Gzar Din, what you can do is you can actually overturn.
Isn't there a thing right now? Even the sword is by a neck. It's still.
Yep. Okay. So good. So the Gemara is not going to quote that, but the Gemara is going to continue to argue the point. Where the discussion of the Gemara is not over. Ugzardin diachet tanahi. Now the Gemara notes that although it sounds like from the Gemara that we've consistently said that an individual cannot change a gzardin, the Gemara points out now this is not agreed to. This is not unanimous. And some tanaim are of the opinion that even an individual can change a gzardin. Did Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Hayy Rabbi Meir Omer. Shtaim Shalu Lamita V'chuyan Shaveh. Two people are sick with the exact same illness, and they're both now bedridden. V'chein Shtaim Shalu L'Gardom Lidon V'dinan Shaveh. Similarly, two people are going to justice, a judgment, I should say, and it's the same case. Zeh Yared V'zeh Lo Yared. And meanwhile, the results are different. One gets down from his bed, meaning recovers, and the other does not get down from his bed. Zenitzel v'zola nitzel. One person gets acquitted, and the other convicted. Mimnei mazeh yarev v'zola yaren. Zenitzel v'zola nitzel. And do we have an explanation for the difference? Even though the illness and the judgment were exactly the same. Zeh hispalav anena v'zeh hispalav alo anena. They both daven. So from the Gemara's perspective, obviously they both daven. That's pashut. But one was answered and one was not answered. Which only prompts, of course, the next question. Mibnei mazenene v'zelo nene. Zeh hitpalal tfila shlema. V'nene v'zelo hitpalal tfila shlema lo nene. So the Gemara here describes the tfila shlema. It's a full tfila. Okay. However, that's to be understood. But in other words, a complete tfila with kavana. Okay, good. Rabbi Laza Amar, good. That is one approach in the Gemara. Rabbi Lazar Omar Kan Konum Gzardin Kan Lacher Gzardin. Rabbi Lazar gives a different answer. Before Gzardin, your tefillah is going to help. After the Gzardin, forget about it. Your tefillah is not going to help. And Rabbi Yitzchak Omar Yafet Sa'akal La'adam Ben Konum Gzardin Ben Lacher Gzardin. And Rabbi Yitzchak, who's a Tana at the end of the Braisa, says no. That even after the Gzardin, Tzaka, you cry out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you scream to Kadosh Baruch Hu, it's going to help. And can even help after the Gzardin. So the Gemara points out that at least according to Rabbi Yitzchak, this position that we've been taking, that an individual cannot change a Gzardin, that's not agreed to by everybody, Rabbi Yitzchak demurs. He disagrees, an individual can change a Gzardin. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us pretty much now to the end of this discussion. We have a little bit more to go. But basically what we have right now in the Gemara is that for the most part, most of the Tanaim say that after Gzardin, an individual cannot change, but a Tzibur can, with exception to Rabbi Yitzchak Montana, who says, no, even after Gzardin, you can change an individual can change with Sa'aka, with screaming. Right? The Rambam sounds like he takes the more majority viewpoint.
No change
after the Gzardin for an individual. Okay. Gzardin Tzibur Mimikra, the Gemara now questions this fact, that which the Gemara has accepted, which even as a community at Tzibur can change the Gzardin. Is that really true? V'aksiv. V'aksiv. Kasev Echad Omer, Kivsi Meira'a Libech. You can wash out the Ra'a, right? Cleanse it out. Uksiv. And meanwhile, we have another Pasuk, also in Yirmiyahu. You can clean yourself out with some sort of cleansing agent. And use all the soap in the world. Your sin in front of me is still a kesem. Kesem, right, we saw this word used a lot in Masech Tanida. The stain is still there. You can't wash it out. So my love kan kodem gzardin kan lacher gzardin. And ostensibly it means that one pasuk is describing before the gzardin where we can wash it out. After the Gzardin, we can't wash it out anymore. So the Gemara says, "Lo idavid lacha Gzardin, v'lo kasha kam b'Gzardin she'enim oshvua, kam b'Gzardin she'enim oshvua." So then the Gemara is going to make a further distinction. Now, both of the pesukim here are describing after the Gzardin. Now, yes, it's true that Tzibur can change a Gzardin, even after the Chasima, even after the Gzardin is sealed. However, if there's a Gzardin with a Shvua, Kadosh Baruch Hu makes an oath, so that even that's locked, and now we'll give it my classic terminology. It's super locked. You can't have even a tzibur can change that. The Gemara gives us a precedent in where we find this in Tanakh. Nikra. You have a gzardin with a shvua, and that will not be torn up. Shenemar. V'lachenish batal beis eli. Avon beis Eli v'mencha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that the house of Eli behaved in such a inappropriate manner. See the psukim over there to describe what their inappropriate behavior was. See the Gemara. I want to say Shabbos Nun Hey around that area where the Gemara discusses it even further in terms of what the behavior was of the Bnei Eli. Anyway, Kadosh Baruch Hu was so angry. He says, I'm going to decree upon them and decree with a shvua. Right? Nishbati lebeis eli imis kaper avon beis eli bezevachu v'mincha. Amar rava bezevachu v'mincha in a miskaper of a miskaper b'torah. So the Gemara says, look, you're right. So zevach v'mincha, karbonus, that's not going to help. Torah is going to help. Abaye amar bezevachu v'mincha in a miskaper of a miskaper b'torah v'gemilos chasadim. And Abaye would like to add to that. Torah will help. Torah together with Chesed, that's really going to help. Rabba v'Avayim in the Beis Eli. Gemara here says that Rabba and Abaye were both from the house of Eli, meaning descendants of Eli. Rabba and Abaye obviously are centuries after Eli. Eli, the last of the Nevi'im that you find right before David HaMelech. Okay. Actually, right before Shmuel. So we're talking now, to get from Eli to Abaye and Rava, you're going through both Bate Mikdash. So that's 400 years. That's another 420 years. Okay, so nearly a millennia. Okay, to go from. But the point is that they trace their lineage, and Abaye and Rava go back all the way to the family of Eli.
Is it,
Good question. It's a good question. I don't know. It's the. I mean, it was for the inappropriate behavior of Eli's sons, but you know. Right. Correct. I don't know. Unclear. It's a good question. The there is a discussion. Rashi, Tosfos both bring it down. Whether it's Rabba or Rava. Why is that significant? So Rashi points out, you can take a look at the Rashi of three lines on the top of the Amud. Kach shamati. So Rashi says that I heard it was Abaye and Rava. Rava with an aleph. Now remember, Abaye and Rava were contemporaries with one another. They were colleagues. They argued with each other often. I mean, agreed as well. But they argued with each other often. Normally the halacha falls like Rava over Abaye. Six exceptions in the Gemara where the halacha falls like Abaye, not like Rava. But anyway, but Rashi says, I heard it's Rava. The problem, says Rashi, is that we know the Gemara in Chulin, and the Gemara in Chulin says that Rava is not a Kohen. Now that's difficult because for Rava to be descendant of Eli, that would probably mean that Rava is a Kohen. It's usually how it works. Now Rashi admits that doesn't have to work that way. Correct. Rashi makes that very point. V'shema imo mi beis Eli. So Rashi says it could be that it's a maternal maternal lineage, and therefore it could be that Rava is not a Kohen, like the Gemara in Chulin says, and he could also be a descendant of Eli. Could be. V'yesh gorsen Rava ve'abaye. Now, another way to sidestep the whole issue is that the Girsa in the Gemara is not Rava with an aleph, but rather Rava with a hey, Rava bar Nachmeni. And if so, so then that works out a little bit better, because then they can make the argument that both Rava and Abaye were both Kohanim, and then it works, and then you don't have to deal with this issue. Either way. Right, right. I was thinking, Hedy, it's so interesting. I was thinking that. Meaning that in the first approach of the Gemara, so then this klala goes through the mother and the father. According to the second approach of Rashi, the klala only goes through the father. And it's interesting. I'm curious. I don't have any sources for this. But in other words, when you have such a klala like this one, is it go through mother and father, only father? Yeah, right. It's a good point. So Rabba Vavai Midabase Eli Kasu, Rabba Dasik Batara Chaya Arbin Shin. So Rabba was engaged in the study of Torah. So as we just pointed out, look, there's a Gzar Din. Okay, they're gonna die young. That's an inevitable. But it's a question of maybe he can get like a little bump. So he did get a little bump. He got to live for 40 years. 40 years for his study of Torah. And Abaye Dasik Batara Gemilas Chasanim Chayin Shitzin Shin. And Abaye got 60 years of life. 60 years of life. How did he do that? Torah together with Gemilas Chesed. Which now, you go back a couple lines earlier in the Gemara, and now you understand Abaye. Abaye says Torah helps. Torah with Chesed, that really helps. Got a 50 percentage extension on his life. Tana Rabban in the Gemara says, Mishpacha Achais Haisa B'Yushalayim Shayu Mesa Mesa Menei Yud Cheshana. There was a family in Yushalayim, and the genetics were bad. Now, could be the spiritual genetics, but either way, genetics were bad. They only lived to 18 years of age. So amazing, by the way, that families that live only to 18 years of age can propagate. Okay, but remember, back then marriage was done at 13, 14 years of age. It can happen. Va'udias Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and they told Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Am lehem shema mimishbachas eliatam. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai does the diagnosis. Okay, I got it. Right, he did the spiritual DNA check, and it could be that you're from the family of Eli. Now, Hedy, just to lend credence to your theory, the pasuk says Yamosu Anashim, the men will die. So it could be that this is, you know, that the for women it's a recessive gene. And I'm speaking. I don't, you know, don't take me too literally. Yeah, it could be. Agreed. So lechuvi isku b'Torah v'yechiu. So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai gives them advice, and he says, "Go learn Torah." Halchuv isku b'Torah. So they learned Torah v'yechiu, and they lived. And va'yikaron asomim mishpacha Rav Yochanan shmo. And you could have predicted the end of the story, and that is that they named their family Rav Yochanan. Meaning, right, we have other examples of this in the Gemara, where a Rav comes in, gives advice. We saw this by the Bris Milah. Remember, there was a right. They kept dying again and again from the Bris Milah, and one of the Tanaim, I forget this, but this part I forget the detail. But one of the Tanaim come in and give advice, and that's it. From that point forward, they named all the children after the Tana who give the advice. Rav Yochanan and Zakkai gave unbelievable advice. Go learn Torah, which is funny. I mean, they're obligated anyway to learn Torah. So, what exactly did he add to their requirement? Either way. And they went on to live. And it's also interesting, Rav Yochanan Zakkai could have told them also to be involved in Gmilas Chesed. We saw from Abaye that's more, that prolongs their years.
It seems like the individual can change.
It's not a change. In other words, it's just simply a delay.
Qualifying.
Right. It's a delay, but it's not a total... I assume so. I mean, this is not, it's not brought down in the Rambam, but I assume that this is so. Amar Shmuel by Inim Shmei Derab Minan LeGzar Din Shel Tzibur Sheino Nechtam. So how do I know that the Gzar Din of a Tzibur is not sealed? So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Inan Nechtam V'Aksiv Nechtam Avanech Lefanai. That's not true. It is sealed. So Ella Afagav She Nechtam Nekra. So the Gemara says, okay. After the Chasima, it could be torn up. Shenamar Kashem Lokin V'Chol Karenu Olav. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, anytime we call out to you. So Amar Ava Beravua Ela Sar Yamim Shben Rosh Hashanah LiYom Kippurim. Not any time that we call out to him, but specifically between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, meaning what we call a Aser Simei Tshuva. Vayikra Aser HaYamim Vayagaf Hashem Es Naval. Gemara, as long as we're discussing 10 days, so the Gemara here turns to the end of Shmuel Aleph, where Naval dies. Naval's not a nice guy. With a name like Naval, right. It's one of those things where it's chicken and egg. In other words, is he not a nice guy in his name? Oh, anyway, but his name was Naval, which in of itself means somebody who is unpleasant, disgusting, and he wasn't a nice guy. And Akash Baruch Hu killed him after 10 days. Vayigof Hashem es Naval Yud Yamim. So, right, him and David had a relationship, and basically he turned David away, and he said he said very unpleasant things about David HaMelech. So anyway, my avida tayam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Keneged Esther Legimo Shenasan Navela Avde David. So now, why did he get a 10-day reprieve? Meaning, really, he should have died right away, but he got a 10-day reprieve. But how come that was so? So one approach of the Gemara is that he did give Avde David, the servants of David, a little bit of food. Right, the Gemara here describes it as Eser Legimos, right? Ten spoonfuls of food, whatever the case is. So Rav Nachman Amar Rava Baravua Elo Yuyamim Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. Another approach of the Gemara, consistent to the theme of our daf, is that no, it's a reference to the Aser Simei Tshuva, meaning that Aser Simei Tshuva, that's the time that you have to repent. If you don't repent within that time, okay, that's it. It's done. Case closed. And the Gemara says, and that was the story with Naval, and that was the 10 days extension of Naval. Finishing up to the next Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah Kol Baye Olam Ovrim Levanav Kivnei Maron. Okay, the Mishnah uses an expression describing humanity being judged on Rosh Hashanah. We go in front of Akash Baruch Hu Livnei Maron. It's a strange terminology. It's not clear what that means. The Gemara over here will explain. My Kivnei Maron. Hacha Targimu Kivnei Imarna. Here usually is a reference to in Bavel. So when we learn the Mishnah over here in Yeshivas in Bavel, so the way we translate it is Kivnei Imarna, we're like sheep. Rashi over here gives the imagery of Meiser Behema, where, you know, when we count the sheep, so we make a small opening in the fence, and one by one they go through. So that's the way we're judging humanity. Everybody is judged individually. Reish Lakish Amar Kema'alos Beis Maron. No, like the steps of Beis Maron. What does that mean? If you take a look at Rashi, Haderech Katzar Ve'ein Shnayim Yicholam Leilech Zebetzadzesha Emek Amok Mishnei Tzidei Haderech. Anyone who goes hiking in Eretz Yisrael, you know exactly, you have a great image of this, of the Gemara's description over here. Some of those hikes, you're going down a very steep valley, and there's a little path that's carved down the side of the valley, and nobody can pass anybody. We're all going single file, and we don't have a choice in the matter. Again, it's the same basic idea, just a different imagery. And yes, the different imagery could be speaking to a subtle distinction. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Kechayalos Shel Beis David, like soldiers of Beis David. Rashi says, "Kivnei Maron, Kivnei Chayelos Shal Melech Maron, Lashon Maros VeAdnos." The word Maron comes from the word Mar, which means master. V'kachi Yomonim Osam Rashi writes, "Yotzim Zeachar Zebit Say Samlam Elchama," as we're going out to battle. Right, the different imageries are certainly speak to like almost like different mission statements. Right, sheep like sheep to the slaughter. Okay, like that's much more passive. Soldiers, obviously, that gives like a much more active, assertive type of imagery. So it's the same idea, single file, one at a time, but obviously the different imagery speak to different mission statements. Amar Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, V'kulan Niskaran B'Skira Achas. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at us at once. So obviously, if you're confused, that's fine. You should be. Meaning, on one hand, we all are single file, looked at individually, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at all of us at once. What does that mean? So, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, Gafan Nami Tanina, we learned the same thing in the Brits as well. Hayotzer Yachad Libam, Hamevin El Kol Ma'asehem. Okay, Pasuk should sound familiar. It's Pasuk in Tehillim. We say it often in Rosh Hashanah. It makes its way into the Piyutim. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at us right in one glance. Maika Amar, so the Gemara now wants a better understanding. What does that mean? The Gemara asks the question, what does that mean? Ilem Achik Amar, Davrinu Gulukule Ama Umiyach Li Bayoke Hadade. Is it that Akash Baruch Hu looks at us all as one entity? But that's simply not true. Vakachazin and Dalav Hachihu. We're not all one entity. We all don't think the same. We're all individuals and we all think differently and we're not the same. Kadosh Baruch Hu looks at us in one shot, but omniscient to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he understands the difference between all of us individually. Okay, still don't fully understand what we gain from all this, meaning the skira achas, the one view that Kadosh Baruch Hu looks, even though in that one view Kadosh Baruch Hu is able to see the distinction and the differentiation between each one of us. But what do we gain with the skira achas? Maybe it's because we're a community and we come in front of a community in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm not totally clear on what the point the Gemara is trying to make is over there. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of Din. Okay, 3.5 daf dedicated to the topic of Din. Start on daf Tetzayin, Amud Aleph, top of the Amud, where the Gemara talked about in Rosh Hashanah. All humanity is judged, and for the last 2.5 days of Daf Yomi, so that's been our topic. The topic has been Din. We talked about judgment, and we gave a global view of what judgment is, both in this world and in the world to come. And can we change the Gzar Din of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's been the topic of the last Daf of the Gemara. Okay, we're starting a new Mishnah. It's not a new chapter, but it kind of is. We have now for the first 18 blot of the Masechta, okay, 17 and a half. So we've been talking on a macro scale. We've been dealing with annual, meaning there are four Rosh Hashanahs, and then we talked about how four times a year that we're judged. In other words, we've been discussing things from an annual perspective. Okay, now from this point going forward in the Masechta, we are now going to speak about the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. We know that we get to a new month. It's coming up, right, this Friday. So we know that, and it happens every month, we're Mekadosh Lechosh, we sanctify the month. Now, for the last 1,700 years, so we know that we don't do, there's not much that we do in terms of Rosh Chodesh. Right, we have a calendar, it's fixed, it's been fixed now for the last 1,700 years, so we don't really gain this excitement of, here comes Rosh Chodesh, I wonder when it's going to be. There's no need to wonder. Okay, the schools, the shuls, and of course the funeral homes all send us a calendar. I don't know. Never understood that. They all send us a calendar, and it's been locked and loaded now from approximately the 3rd or 4th century, where Hillel, not to be confused with Hillel HaZaken, who lived during the Second Temple, but Hillel was the one who, after the destruction of the Second Temple, realized that we no longer have a unified, autonomous Jewish people. So he simply put the calendar in a set pattern. We will talk more about that at a later point in time in the Masechta. In the meantime, however, before that occurred, so how does Rosh Chodesh work? It's very simple. Rosh Chodesh can be one of two candidates. It could either be the 30th day of the month or the 31st day of the month. Meaning that either on day 30 or on day 31, we're going to declare it Rosh Chodesh. If we declare it on day 30, that means day 30 is transformed into day 1 of the next month. That means that the previous month was only 29 days. And from this point forward, we're going to call that Malay. Let me correct myself. We're going to call that Chaser. Okay, I'm like listening. I'm like, what? Who said that? That was me. So we're going to call that Chaser. That's a missing month. It's a lacking month. And then your only other alternative is that no, the Beis Din for whatever reason wasn't Mekadesh the 30th day. Beis Din was Mekadesh the 31st day, and so that means the 31st day is going to transform into day 1 of the next month, and the previous month the 30 days, and now I could say it hopefully properly, and that month is called a Malay. That's good. That's a full month. Okay, and that's it. Those are your only two options. Meaning Rosh Chodesh cannot be. It cannot be any other day. It's either going to be day 30, it's going to be day 31. And the previous month is either going to be either 29 days or 30 days. Again, what we do nowadays, for our purposes, ignore it. Meaning, we have a two-day Rosh Chodesh, we have a one-day Rosh Chodesh, right? If it's a chaser, it's a one-day Rosh Chodesh. If it's a malay, it's a two-day Rosh Chodesh. On another occasion, maybe we'll go over that, we'll explain that better. But in the meantime, however, we're just dealing with the basic idea of what Kiddush HaChodesh meant. What happens is that you have witnesses who see the moon, the new moon. In just a short couple of days from now, we're going to go through exactly how that works, meaning the pattern of the moon and when the moon is visible, the new moon is visible, and I'll give a more astronomical explanation a couple of days from now. But right now, just an outline, a simple outline. The Adam, the witnesses, are going to see the new moon. They're going to run to Beis Din, and they're going to tell Beis Din, "We saw the new moon." Beis Din says, "Okay." Based on their testimony, and parenthetically, based on their own calculations, because they knew exactly when the new moon is going to be seen. And again, you know a little bit of astronomy, you'll understand they knew exactly when that was the new moon is visible. So they are going to sanctify the new month, and they're going to say, okay, based on the witnesses that were presented, we're going to sanctify the new month. Now you understand, we all understand, based on the small amounts of information that I just provided, that if Beis Din is not Mekadesh the Chodesh on day 30, day 31 is kind of an automatic, meaning there's no other option. Okay, so is there a mitzvah for Beis Din to be Mekadesh the Chodesh if day 30 came and went and there was no Kiddush HaChodesh? Does Beis Din Mekadesh the Chodesh on day 31 as well? That's a discussion which we're going to see later on. Okay, now Beis Din, it was Mekadesh the Chodesh. And now what? So let's tell everybody. So in the world that we live in now, that'd be very easy. We'd all get a text message on the phone. I cannot wait. I mean, we cannot wait for Mashiach in general, but I cannot wait because this is going to be like 2,000 years ago. They could not have envisioned. So we're all going to have our phone. We're all going to get a text message, and it's going to say, "Beis Din was Mekadesh HaChodesh today." Okay, good. So that was a nice, simple way of communication. In the good old days, right before the telephone, before fax machines, what means of communication they had? So they used to have a great method of communication, telling everybody when Rosh Chodesh was, and that was lighting the fires on the top of the mountains. Lighting the fires on the top of the mountain is an ingenious way of basically sending a message crossing miles in a short amount of time. We'll discuss later on. It didn't work for reasons which we'll discuss later on. And okay, very good. And so we had to send out our Paul Revere's, our men on horses to get out to the hinterlands and tell them that the Beis Din was Mekadesh the Chodesh. How far did they get? Not that far. And you have to understand the travel was impeded because that Shabbos, you know, on Tishrei, they had Shabbos, they had Yom Kippur, meaning they got only as far as they can get in traveling 5 days, 10 days, you know, maybe 13 days. But
what did they do for the
Rosh Chodesh itself, they literally didn't know. Meaning they didn't know.
So for
davening and for Musaf, those are good questions. I don't know. I literally do not know. Okay, maybe I don't know. Those are good questions. Okay, sending out the shlichim, sending out the messengers after the declaration of Rosh Chodesh is the topic of our Mishnah. And you know, I've made this point already a number of times. This is, you know, but it's just, you know, you learn enough Gemara and you just know. not everything in the Gemara is presented to us in order. Meaning, shouldn't we first talk about the actual sanctification of the month and the Kiddush HaChodesh and the Beis Din and the process of Beis Din? We are going to discuss that. That is coming up in the course of this entire discussion. But we start at a later point in time. That's just the way the Gemara operates. We are now after the sanctification of the month, and now we are talking about the messengers go out. So when do we send the messengers out? So think about it. Do the people have to know when Rosh Chodesh is? It'd be nice. Meaning, it's certainly great if everybody knew when Rosh Chodesh is. But do they have to know? So Nisan, they have to know.
Yeah.
Tishrei, they have to know. Okay. So Danny, perfect. Meaning, correct. When there's a Beis HaMikdash, so people really need to know. Because Pesach Sheni. Okay. Mar Cheshvan? Who needs to know? Okay. Okay, fine. Good. So... Basically, Beis Din made their decision on two factors. One, number one was the astronomy, and number two was the Edim. It wasn't one to the exclusion of the other. Both factors went into their decision, but the process needed Edim. The process, in other words, Kiddush HaChodesh needed witnesses. One isn't to the. These are not mutually exclusive points. The witnesses and the astronomy.
The witnesses totally off from their calculation. They were going to accept it.
Well, okay, we're going to. I'll tell you what. We're going to come back to that. Right now, let's deal with the Mishnah at hand and the Gemara at hand, and we're going to come back to that. Let's start the Mishnah. Ashisha chadashim ashulchem yotzim. So now, basically, what the Mishnah here is going to describe is those months. Those months where we needed the shlichim to go out and to spread the word. So, right, instead of the British are coming here, the word is Rosh Chodesh. Al nisa mibnei ha-Pesach. So, in other words, you could figure out the rest of the Mishnah. Meaning, we could all figure out the rest of the Mishnah. Basically, like, which months do, like, we need to know what was, when did Beis Din Mekadesh HaChodesh? So, if it's Nisan, Pesach. Al Av Mimnei Atanis. Av is a fast day coming up, the ninth day of Av. So we need to know. Al El Mimnei Rosh Hashanah. El because of Rosh Hashanah, that's interesting, of course, because even if you know when Rosh Chodesh is, Rosh Chodesh Elo, you don't necessarily know when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is, but we'll address that point later on. Al Tishrei Mimnei Takanas Moados. And then Tishrei, we need to know when Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is because we have Yom Kippur, we've got Sukkos, al Kislev b'mei Chanukah. We need to know when Rosh Chodesh Kislev is, and al Adar b'mei Purim, and then Adar because of Purim. Ukshahaya based on Mikdash Kaim Yotzei Naf Alayir b'mei Pesach Katan, and then Danny, you intuited excellent, and ER. They need to go out when the Beis Hamikdash was around because if anyone could not bring Pesach Rishon, so then they brought Pesach Sheni. Okay, two notable omissions in the Mishnah. And that is v'lifkei nami atamos v'teves. So let's go out in the month of Tammuz. Let's go out in the month of Teves. We have fast days in the month of Tammuz. We have fast days in the month of Teves.
Sivan, we don't need to get
to Sivan. No need. Shavuos is not based on Sivan. Shavuos is based on Pesach. Okay. So, but the two noticeable omissions in the Mishnah is Tammuz and Teves. Well, correct. Point taken. Point taken. The Mishnah was recorded years after Hanukkah was instituted. This is a popular discussion, I hear it often, but it's a good discussion. There's no Mishnayos that speak about Hanukkah directly, right? It is a fascinating point. That, in other words, all the Mishnayos were recorded years after the destruction of the Second Temple. And we were celebrating Hanukkah from that point in time for hundreds of years. And even though the Mishnah was recorded, there's no Mishnayos dedicated to the topic of Hanukkah. And you'll say, okay, it's rabbinic. So is Purim. And meanwhile, there's an entire Masechta dedicated to Purim, and there's no Mishnayos that speak about Hanukkah directly. Okay, this is not an original thought. Huh? Shabbos, there is a Gemara that talks about Hanukkah, but no Mishnayos. There is no set of Mishnayos saying here's Hanukkah, right? Okay, it's a fascinating discussion. There are some theories that are that are offered in terms of why that is. Okay. You want more information, you come to me later. I'll give you more information later. Anyway, in the meantime, so the Amr of Chana bar Bizna, Amr Rabbi Shimon Chasid Amai Dechsev. And now we turn to the Psukim in Zechariah. Karma Hashem Tzivako, Samar Viv, Samar Chamish, Samar Shiv, Samar Tziri, Yela Beis Yehuda L'Sason L'Simcha. The fast days of the 4th, 5th, 7th, and 10th, we'll explain all those numbers in just a moment. So those days will turn into Sason V'Simcha. So Karleit Sam V'Karleit Sason V'Simcha, Bizman She, Yeh Shalom Yehuda L'Sason L'Simcha. So when there's Shalom, which ostensibly means, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, and so those days are joyous days. But ain't Shalom, but if there's no Shalom, so Tzom. So those are fast days. So the question on the table is very simple. Our Mishnah is telling us the months that the Shlichim need to go out to inform the people that this is Rosh Chodesh, so that there could be a proper, correct celebration, in this case, not celebration, but commemoration, on the correct date. And why is Tammuz and Av, not, sorry, Tammuz and Teves not mentioned in our Mishnah? Tammuz, of course, for the 17th day of Tammuz, and Teves for the 10th day of Teves. So Amar Rav Papa Hachi Kamar, so Rav Papa is going to give an interesting answer. Bizman she Shalom Yehuda L'Sason L'Simcha. If it's Shalom, so these days are joyous days. However, Yesh Gzeres Amachus, I'm sorry. Bizman she Shalom Yehuda L'Sason L'Simcha. Yesh Gzeres Amachus Som. Now, if there's Gzeres Amachus, in other words, if there is a decree that we are actually experiencing and facing, so and then these days are days of Tzom. Ain Gzeres Amachus Vein Shalom. But what if we are in a, so to say, par of historical period? Not that many that we have in our history. I guess you could point to now in terms of like some understanding of what it means to not have the Beis HaMikdash, but at the same time not to be under direct persecution. Ratzu Misanim, Ratzu Misanim. So Rav Papa says, these are optional fast days. I know, that's interesting. These are optional fast days. These are not obligatory fast days. And that's why they won't go out. And the shlichim won't go out because they're not obligations. So, Yehachi, my time, I'm sorry, Tisha B'Av Nami. So the Gemara says, really? So if they're optional, so including this Pasuk and Zechariah are 4 dates, actually 4 months. So if that's true, so then Tisha B'Av should be part of that. And meanwhile, our Mishnah says that the Shlichim do go out and Av because of Tisha B'Av. So what makes Tisha B'Av different than the others? So I'm Rav Papa, Shani Tisha B'Av, Hol V'Huchbul Abot Saros. So the Gemara says Tisha B'Av is different. Why should that be? I'm Amar B'Tisha B'Av, Charva Bayit, B'Rishon V'Shnia. Both Batei Mikdash are destroyed on Tisha B'Av. And Nilkada, Beitar, Beitar was destroyed. Beitar was our last stand against the Romans around the year 135 of the Common Era. So, right, approximately 80 years after, now my math is bad, 60 years after the destruction of the Second Temple. So, our last stand was in Beitar, and it didn't go well, just the opposite. And Nechrusha Ha'ir and the city of Yerushalayim was plowed. All this occurred on Tisha B'Av. And as a result of that, so Tisha B'Av is really categorically different than the other fast days. The other fast days are quote-unquote optional, but Tisha B'Av is not optional. Okay, give me one moment. Okay, so basically, the Gemara's question was, why the glaring omission of Tammuz and Teves? Answer, because there's no obligation to fast on those days. Okay, the Gemara's conclusion seems to be that there is no absolute obligation, 17th day of Tammuz, 10th day of Teves, and we can add to that the 3rd day of Tishrei, right, what we call Tzom Gedalia. So it sounds like from the Gemara's conclusion that those aren't absolute obligations. Shulchan Aruch rules, the Rishonim already discussed this, Shulchan Aruch rules that from our standpoint, we have accepted, the Jewish people have accepted them as fast days, even though the Gemara over here concludes that they're not absolute, but we have accepted them as fast days. We are lenient in terms of people who are sick, people who are ill. Tisha B'Av, again, as the Gemara pointed out, Tisha B'Av being a categorically stricter day, but the other fast days are, we've accepted them upon ourselves. They are not, as the Gemara here describes, as being optional, but, in other words, from a Gemara standpoint, from a way of answering the Mishnah, we understand that at the time that the Mishnah was written, they were not absolutely observed by all people, and that's why all Jews, and that's why the Shlichim didn't go out. Okay, we'll stop over here, and tomorrow we'll put